All right, I'm glad y'all could be here. It's interesting. I've had, obviously, this is a relatively new road for me as, I don't know, a full-time evangelist. But I've had the opportunity just recently to study through the book of John with a couple non-Christians, one who has no belief in the Bible whatsoever. And it's been an interesting road, I got to say. There's been some very interesting conversations, but ones that are very worthwhile. But I think John, like all the Gospels, can cut to the heart, as we see in Acts chapter 2. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to create some sort of stir within somebody to create a change. Why don't you go ahead and look at the back of this. The back, I'm calling the one with the outline on it. If you look down at the bottom, there's a couple different ways that you can study through John. We're going to look at one specifically today, but there are a few different ways to approach the book of John when you're studying with somebody. One is just looking at the witnesses and the testimonies that are throughout. One distinction is that a witness, we think of them as someone who's seen something happen, but a witness is someone who's seen something and talks about it. So when you see it is somebody's witness, it's that they've seen it and they've testified about it. So those words are really the same. But you can follow the witnesses and the testimonies of all these different people throughout the book of John, and you can see some examples there in the back. You can also look at the I Am statement, some very powerful statements that are throughout the book of John, specifically, that I think really do cut to the heart of people and desires that we all have. I think those I Am statements can answer those. And going through the book of John, focusing in on those could be a worthwhile study. There's also just the questions of Jesus. I don't have that on the sheet. But if you just follow the questions that Jesus asks, what are you seeking? Do you want to get well? There's a lot of different questions that Jesus asks that, if it doesn't get to the heart of it right from the start, it eventually leads somewhere that can get to the heart of somebody. But I think what you see throughout the book of John is two things, and we're going to talk a lot about them tonight. Two things. One, Jesus is the Son of God. That's something that John wants to make very clear to his audience, that Jesus is the Son of God. So, when we're studying with people, we want to make clear that by the end of this book, you understand that Jesus is the Son of God. But you find that out in the first 18 verses. And he elaborates on that throughout the book. And then what we're going to focus on mostly is, what is belief? That's what we're going to focus on. I think John talks a lot about that. Many people say that the thesis statement of John is John chapter 20 and verse 31. If you flip over the sheet of paper, I have the verse printed off right there. Gary, could you read that for us? John 20, verse 31.
These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
So when you get to the very end of the book, he says all of these things have been written for what purpose? That you would believe. Now, you can circle that. That's important. But what are we supposed to believe in? Believe what? Jesus is the Christ. Underline that. That's going to come throughout this book. He's going to come back to Jesus being the Christ throughout. What else? The Son of God, right? Okay, so that's something that's established right there in chapter 1, and he keeps saying it over and over and over throughout the book. All right, and then what else do you need to believe in? What's the result of that belief? Okay, that you're changed, right? That there is a change that happens within this. This belief isn't just this thought that something is going to happen, or isn't just this knowledge that I know something happened. But this belief creates some sort of change. And it produces something for us in the end. Something that we didn't deserve, but because Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and gave us that sacrifice, we have this life-changing belief. So let's look throughout. I'll ask the question, what reasons to believe does John provide in this book? Can you all think of any specific reasons that John provides just in your study of the book?
The miracles.
Okay, so, and it's interesting, in John, it's always described as a sign. What does a sign do? It points somewhere. But what are you supposed to do? If I see a stop sign, it's telling me something, but what am I supposed to do? Do something about it, right? Okay, so a sign is pointing you somewhere, but with the intention of you following that, right? To guide you in some way that you might have a clearer direction as to where you're going. So these signs that Jesus does, these miracles that he does, they are described as signs to point us somewhere. Okay, so signs are certainly one.
For the Jews, he pointed back to things they did believe in, like Moses and the Old Testament scriptures.
Yeah.
So testify of him.
So in that, okay, so these scriptures that testify, John chapter 5 talks about these scriptures that you should know, by the way. And he calls them out in John chapter, calls Nicodemus out in John chapter 3. Are you not the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? But he says that these words, the scriptures testify. What else? Who's mentioned in chapter 1 specifically? There's a character that's brought up, not a character, a person within the story that is brought up in chapter 1. Who is that?
John
the Baptist. And what does he do? What's that? Okay, so he prepares the way. And how does he do that? But like testifying, right? Like calling out, hey, everybody, here, there's this man. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? So there, what you see, the two things that John constantly comes back to are signs and testimonies. The two things that John does over and over in his book is he provides signs and testimonies. These are things that you will see with your eyes, and that will help you believe. That's going to point you somewhere. But you're going to hear with your ears. But are there any passages in the Bible that talk about seeing things and hearing things, but not actually seeing anything and not actually hearing anything? You'll see examples of that throughout the book of John as well. All right, I have a Venn diagram, which if you've ever been in a class of mine, I've used this several times before. I'm going to break y'all up into groups, just two groups. So you can see in this first one, in the first Venn diagram, we're looking at what belief does not look like. What belief does not look like. And I have a couple passages there for you. But while you're looking throughout these passages, I want you to answer these questions. First, list the characters in the story. And two, why did they believe or seek Jesus? And if there's a statement of belief, write that down. And then the third question, was their belief changed? And then provide specific details for that. Okay, so this side of the room, I want y'all looking at John chapter 6. And then this side of the room, I want y'all looking at John chapter 8. I'll give you just a couple minutes. Talk with one another. Write these answers down as you get it, and then we'll write them down on the board. Let's take a look at John chapter 6. Question number one, who's there? Yep, Joshua.
A large crowd.
Yeah, we got large crowds, right? Like, for a lot of people. As far as specifically who, there's apparently a little boy, and he's got food.
Jews.
Yeah, all right, so we got large crowds who are there. Question number two, why did they believe or seek Jesus? Is there any type of statement of belief that's given?
Verse 14.
What's that say?
That says, this indeed is the prophet.
Okay, so there's some sort of belief. Oops, sorry, Dylan. There's some sort of belief. There's he's a prophet of some kind, right? And how does he describe that prophet?
Who is to come into the world? So it's something they're looking forward to.
Yeah, so it seems to be something that they've been looking for, and was outside of them and is now with them. But we have this prophet. So they believe in something. Is there anything else that you would say that goes with the belief? What caused their belief?
Food. It says in verse 26, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of blood.
Yeah, okay. So you have because of food, right? Verse 26. You served us somehow. You have benefited us, and therefore we believe in you. Therefore we seek you, right? And Jesus calls them out for that. You seek me because I've given you food. That's really the only reason why you're here. And then we skip a little bit. I'll back up. Is there anything else for question two? For why they may have believed?
Verse
because of the healings.
Yeah, okay, so remember, there were some healings as well, right? We'll just say other signs, right? Yeah. Good. So, they believed, some sort of prophet, because of this food, because of these healings, something great is going on. All right. What about question three? Was their belief changed? So in here, you kind of got to go to the end there. And then you can anticipate follow-up question, how, why? But was it changed?
Well, in verse 69, it says they are sure that he's the Christ.
Ooh, but who's saying that? Yeah, verse 69, that's Peter saying that.
Is that Peter?
Yeah, but before that, it says in verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. So, question three, we can see that, yes, it changed, but what caused that change in belief? Yeah, so it seems to have a lot to do with difficult teaching. There's a few different statements that are said. It challenged their own understanding. Verse 42, let me find it. Verse 42, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? That in and of itself was difficult for them to wrap their heads around. Verse 52 says, how can this man give us this flesh to eat? Right? That's what you were talking about there. And then verse 66 led to that. So this difficult teaching, one, coming from a person they didn't anticipate to be able to do this, or at least weren't willing to accept would be able to do this. And then this difficult teaching to wrap their head around, how is it? I think also that within that difficult teaching is the fact that you have this guy who is claiming to be the bread from heaven. Who is claiming to be something that sustains God's people. Because they all knew the bread from heaven was coming from God. And so if he's saying that he's this bread from heaven, he is what? He is from God, right? And that's a difficult teaching for them to accept. All right, let's look at John 8. Who's there?
Pharisees.
All right, so you got Pharisees, right? And I brought you back to verses 2 and 3 just to say that you can see, where is it? Early in the morning he came again into the temple, that's verse 2, and all the people were coming to him. So the people who were in the temple. So you had Pharisees and all at the temple. Alright, question number 2. Why did they believe? This is, by the way, I don't think there's any... it doesn't say that this is why they believe, but I'm curious. Right?
So in the second part of the verses that you gave us, the introduction is that as he spoke, many came to believe in him, and that he starts talking to the Jews that believed in him.
Mm-hmm.
So that really kind of fills out the rest of one.
Right.
And that specifically this conversation is going to be with believers.
It narrows in with believers, which is a difficult thing when you read the rest of that passage.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like it.
Verses under the back row. Believers, in air quotes.
Yeah, for those listening at home, air quotes were around believers. Yeah, but it does say believers. John doesn't put air quotes around it. But yeah, so why do you think they came to believe? What was he saying that you think caused their belief? This would be a guess, by the way. So I'm curious if it wasn't verse 24 where he says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I wonder how much of that was like a fear factor for them, that because of the possibility of them dying in their sins, this causes people to perk up a little bit. And let me hear what this guy has to say. Again, pure speculation on my part. But whatever was said in that, or maybe outside of that, what is said caused them to believe So I'll just say it's unclear, but maybe die in your sins. This at least makes them perk up a little bit. But enough to where John says that they believe. All right, question three. Was their belief changed? So they said they believe in Jesus. By the end of this, do they still believe in Jesus?
No.
Yeah, I'd say that's a no. Was their belief changed? So yeah, it was changed. What are they doing at the end? They're trying to kill him, right? Now, what do you think led to that?
Just a hard, kind of like over here, the hard teaching.
Ooh, hints of Venn diagram, right? this difficult teaching. But what was some of that difficult teaching? Look throughout John chapter 8, specifically like verse 30 and through the end. What were some of those difficult teachings, Grant?
Well, he tells them that they don't believe him.
Yeah. Yeah, he pretty much calls them out right from the start that, like, pump the brakes on that a little bit. Do you really understand what it is that you're saying? If you continue in my word, then you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they immediately start pushing back on that. Because if you're implying that we're not free, then what you're implying is that we are enslaved. We've never been enslaved to anyone. Well, you could argue that they're enslaved right now to the Roman government, but that's what they're claiming, right? So some difficult teachings. What else?
They were tying everything back to their heritage to Abraham and not understanding that Jesus was the Son of God.
Yeah, and tripping over their own words while they do it, right? Our father is Abraham. Well, you don't believe what Abraham said. Well, actually, our father is God. They keep kind of rewording what they're saying, but they're trying to pull it back to Scripture, and yet this man that they're talking to clearly has a better understanding of it that they're not willing to accept, right? Anything else that y'all find in John chapter 8?
I am statement.
Yeah, okay. And what about that I am statement? What is he implying in that I am statement? Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. God eternal, right? Which is something that they are not willing to accept. So, was their belief changed? Yes. Why? Again, you have this difficult teaching. Now, go ahead, sorry.
He also says that their father is dead.
that hurts, right? And he alludes to it beforehand, too. He says, in verse 41, you are doing the deeds of your father. And then they cut in, and then he eventually gets to explain who their father really is, and that would be the devil. All right, so let's look in the middle here. Question one, the similarities between there are really just, they are similar crowds in that you have a large crowd, you have a Jewish crowd, but what are some other similarities that you can see between those? We already pointed out one, and that's this difficult teaching, right?
Probably have very shallow type faith.
Okay, so shallow faith. By the way, have we ever had shallow faith before? Yeah. Okay. We've all been there.
Jesus didn't meet their expectations.
Okay, expectations not met. Yeah. Yeah, in both cases you see that, Doug.
It wasn't nice.
in each of them he calls them out, right? Like calls them out for sins specifically. And it's interesting that John 8 begins with something that we would all go to for being nice, right? Taking this adulterous woman and drawing that line, like, you know, he who has not sinned cast the first stone, right? But then he goes and casts some verbal stones later on, pointing them out as he sees it. I think one thing that we see is that when his expectations are not met, is that because he didn't do enough miracles? No, that's not it. When he called them out for sin, did he do like some special trick that revealed the sin in them? No, what is it? What's the similarity in these things? His word, right? It's his word that is troubling, right? Okay, hold on to that. Let's go ahead and move to the second Venn diagram here for what belief does look like. Oh, and I'll pause. By the way, I have additional text that you can look at. I invite you to look at that another time. 40 minutes is not enough time to cover all that, but it's there for y'all to look at additionally. Go ahead and look at what belief does look like. So we'll do this group thing again. You'll realize that you need to move quickly. We'll see John 1 and 2. In this row right here, and then John 11 over here. Y'all go ahead and start answering the same three questions. All right, let's go ahead and go through these. John chapter 1, who's in the story?
Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel.
Yeah, good. All right, so we had these early disciples, right? Good. Question number two. Oh, Jesus is there too. Question number two. Why did they believe or seek Jesus?
They believed he was the one spoken of in the scripture.
Okay. Right, scripture kind of pointed there, right? Good. What else?
I think it was John.
Okay, testimony of John. Wow.
Hey, look at that.
Testimony of John. What else?
Their own testimony to each other.
Yeah, okay. So testimony, so from Philip to Nathaniel, you see that, Andrew to Peter, right? Yeah, good. Testimony of John and themselves. What else?
Jesus saying that he saw Nathaniel.
Yeah, and I love that, by the way, because what did Jesus say shortly after that? He's kind of like, wait, that did it? That's all you needed to believe? Well, you're going to see much greater things than this. I love that. Okay, so, like, Jesus' little mini-miracle, his prophecy, right? Or whatever you want to call that, right? All right, so you have a few things there. By the end of it, and this is where you got to get into chapter 2, was their belief changed? Yeah, it was, right? Why do you think that? Yeah, Joshua?
Because 2:11 verse says, and his disciples believed him.
Yeah, and his disciples believed him. And what happens earlier in that chapter? What's that? Yeah, water and wine, right? Okay, so there was this first miracle where he revealed himself, by the way, to a very select few people. He's not doing it to a large group. And it causes his disciples to believe in him. But wait a second, I thought they already believed in him. What is this implying? What's that?
More
belief. That there's this increase in belief there, right? You're going to be studying with people. I would say the majority of people that you evangelize to have some sort of understanding of the gospel and have some sort of belief in the gospel. But what we need to see is that belief is growing in ourselves this very moment, but also certainly for other people. And what causes that belief, though? Well, it's when we look at the signs and testimonies of Jesus. That's what's going to cause that belief. So yes, there's an increase in belief there, right? But remember, Andrew was willing to just totally start following Jesus just based on the testimony of John, right? There's a lot to go in that. We got to move into John 11. Sorry, Joshua. John 11. All right, we have specifically here got Martha, right? In Jesus, question two. So these questions are a little tougher for y'all. You might have to read between the lines a little bit. Why did she believe or seek Jesus, Owen?
Because Lazarus had died earlier, and Jesus had like come to their house and like shown like he had taught them earlier.
Okay, so Yeah, you kind of got to look for other context, right? If you go to Luke 10, that's the story of Martha and Mary, and Martha's really upset that, you know, Mary's not helping me over here, but Mary chose the better, right? So there was already familiarity that Martha had with Jesus. What miracles she saw, what teaching she received, all we have is in Luke chapter 10 and in this story, but I would imagine she had seen something that would cause that belief. But yeah, go ahead.
They called for him.
Yeah.
They wanted to come.
Okay, so is there a statement of belief? I think there's three different ones that are mentioned here. You have verse 21, where she believed in Jesus' abilities. If you were here, he would not have died. I know this for a fact, that if you were here, he would not have died. In verse 22, he talks about this connection with God. You have such a connection with the Father. Also, a strong statement of belief, because as John alludes to all throughout the book, is this John or Jesus being the Son of God, that connection with the Father. Jesus is constantly trying to say, bring them to understand that he is from God. And then you have there in verse 27, what does she believe? The Christ. The Son of God. Look back up at the top of your sheet of paper, John 20 and verse 31. These things are written so that you might believe what? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Martha makes this wonderful declaration, exactly what belief is. Right? So you have verse 22 points that out, 21 and then 27. You have these statements of belief from Martha. Now, what were they founded in as far as what did she actually see? I don't know, but it is very clearly founded in exactly what Jesus wanted. So question three, was there a change in belief? It was certainly deepened, right? Yeah. Because what is Jesus about to do? He's about to raise Lazarus from the dead, right? And this is a commotion so large that like people from all over, when they're coming in, they want to see Lazarus. And they want to see Jesus in the next chapter. So was her strength, or was her faith or belief deepened? I would say for sure, even though it doesn't mention it specifically. Now, what similarities do you see here? What is it that they believe? Joshua?
Well, I was just going to say that their faith both gets deepened, and that he's teaching to people that have heard. And
and what deepens that faith, though?
Him, his miracles, and his teaching.
Okay, so in this case, you have signs deepening the faith rather than the signs creating the faith. Does that make sense? I think that's an important distinction, that you have these miracles, these signs that are done, that are there to strengthen that faith that is already based on what? His words, his teaching, right? So what you see in both of these passages is that the belief is based on words, testimonies, perhaps. And these signs deepen that faith. What? That's not the second bell. The first bell just rang. We didn't start it at 6:05. Alright. So this belief is based on these words, and these signs deepen the faith. I think what's so important, one, Son of God is mentioned in both of these things. What they believe in is exactly what Jesus wants them to believe in, right? And again, that faith, that belief is founded on his words, and it actually comes before the big reveal, right? Nathaniel he's seen something, right? Like Jesus did this little miracle here, and he's amazed by it. And even Jesus is like, well, you're going to see much greater things than this. This belief is founded on the words and the promises that Jesus makes. This difficult teaching that the disciples, that the apostles would have heard as well, right? And yet, their faith is dependent on those difficult teachings and founded on those difficult teachings. So at the bottom, I have here kind of a summary of what, at the bottom of your handout, a summary of what belief looks like based on John. And I'm just going to kind of rapid fire go through that just for sake of time. But there's a lot of great things that you see here. In John 1, when he's talking about being children of God, these children of God that are not born of the flesh, right? There is this, and then in chapter 3, and that's the discussion with Nicodemus, that you are going to be reborn. There is this deep change that comes with belief. What's that to be? Deep. Belief creates a deep change. If you stated your belief in your life and there wasn't some change that happened, I'm not sure it's the same belief that we just read about, right? Chapter 3 ties belief with obedience. Obedience is very closely tied to that. You can showing belief but not having works. John testifies about that. John chapter 4, there's this is with the Samaritans. They were convinced by his words that belief has to do with the words of Jesus. And then we just read chapter 11, verse 27. Belief is founded on Jesus being the Christ. The Son of God. All right. So if you have people who claim to believe in Jesus but give him the good teacher name, that's simply not it. That's not what John would describe. Chapter 12 and chapter 17 both talk about him being sent by God. Yeah.
How much of what the miracles that Jesus performed? How much of that in the equation to say what's the reason why don't you believe in Jesus? Because if you see somebody do something that an average human being cannot do, that would have to be the same. And you've seen something with your own eyes, and back then they saw a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. If you look at John chapter 12, which is one of those additional texts that I wrote there, it talks about these Pharisees who saw, and yet it talks about their hearts. I'm not sure if the phrase "hearts being hardened" is used, but something along those lines, where they saw the same signs as everybody else, but they refused to believe. And I think it mostly had to do with those difficult teachings. But then in the same chapter, it talks about Pharisees who did believe, but were too afraid to confess it to anybody. So I think these signs do create some sort of stirring within us. I mean, you can go to any like circus and see people doing these crazy, amazing things, and we are willing to throw down money to go see this because it's amazing. But that in itself, that spectacle of it doesn't actually create change. It's these words and these teachings, something we can follow. That's what's going to create change. It should certainly spark our interest, though. Yeah. I'll say lastly before we head out. Sorry. As far as evangelism is concerned with John, as you're reading through it, obviously if you're studying with someone through John, you should read through it a couple times before you start. Start marking those, all the passages that start talking about belief. Because what you want to do, what we all need to do, is convince people that belief is so much different than wearing a bracelet. Belief is so much different than just attending services on a Sunday morning. Belief is so much different than perhaps writing a check. Belief is something that is deeply seated within us and creates change and creates obedience in us. And that's what we see in these passages. And I hope y'all can start using that for other people as well.